Welcome along to the Championship edition of the League podcast. I've got some intriguing matches to look at in the company of Peter Farries. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. Why have we started so upper class?
It's a Pathé News podcast. We've got six matches to have a look at, and we'll start with the TV game on Saturday. 12:15 kickoff, Charlton versus Ipswich. 2-1 Charlton. 2-1 the draw, and Ipswich are priced up at 6-4. Ipswich Town are fourth on 31 points. Charlton down in ninth, but only 3 points behind the Tractor Boys. You look at Charlton's recent form, and not too shabby. Haven't lost in November, Pete. Three draws and one win. You look at the home form, and they're not winning many games, but they're not losing any either, are they? Tremendous home form. Ipswich just on a really good run as well. They've picked a good game for the 12:15.
They have, but I was looking over how 12:15 kickoffs tend to go, because when I was down doing the Chesterfield game last weekend, I actually sat down and watched the Huddersfield-Sheffield Wednesday game before.
Right, yeah.
And I thought, do you know what? Whenever I sit and watch an early game in here, it never seems, nothing really seems to happen. I know that Derby had a 5-0 relatively recently, of course, as well in one of those games. But I'm thinking back to Middlesbrough Leeds, and we've had it an awful lot this season where it's actually not seen that many goals. And I really got to thinking. So three of the last four have gone unders.
Yep.
So 8-13 is your unders price in this game today. And that's absolutely exceptional value, first and foremost. Because also, look at Charlton's recent form. Yes, they're scoring and conceding.
Yep.
And yes, Ipswich have got goals in them as well. We know the likes of, for example, Murphy's bagged, I think it's 11 goals this season now. Murphy, he's been very, very good indeed. But these are two sides that, if Charlton were going to Ipswich, I'd be very keen on Ipswich in this game. Anyone going to Ipswich, I'd be very keen. But with Ipswich going away to Charlton, I do think that's a real leveller. So the 8-13 is good. I like the 2-1 for under 1.5 here as well. I mean, Ipswich have gone out, they've strengthened with players who probably won't feature for a little while now, the likes of Sean St. Ledger. And they have got a very good squad and, in my opinion, a fantastic manager. But I looked at this one as, quite frankly, having a very low scoring sort of fare written all over it, and the draw is 2-1 Lee, as well. So that, for me, the 2-1, the unders goals, and any other kind of associated market was the way I wanted to play it. These 12:15 kickoffs, they don't tend to be brilliant to watch.
No, I mean, we talked about that quite a lot on the punt, the Premier League podcast a few seasons ago, where there's something about that start.
The first halves especially.
First halves were low on the goals. Yeah. It takes a little while for not only the players to get going, but fans as well to get into full singing voice.
Now, the only thing I'd say with it is that a lot of the reasons that these games get put 12:15 is, you know, derbies and so on. So maybe that's one of the issues that...
Yeah. Could be.
Actually, these games are tight not because they're 12:15 kickoffs, but because they're the derbies or games with a great deal of you know, history behind them.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Millwall Leeds, for example, is often, of course, 12:15 kickoff, isn't it? So things like that. So that is something to put into mind, because of course Charlton Ipswich is not. But I just still look at it and think that those low goals and certainly the draw look like excellent value to me.
Looks decent. Let's have a look at the 3 o'clock starts. We'll do it alphabetically, shall we? Bolton versus Huddersfield. First up, 13-10 Wanderers.
I couldn't work out which one was first then. You went to do it alphabetically and I went,
well, it's because the William Hill website. I don't know what the order is. What is the order on the William? How do they order these? Brighton, Middlesbrough, Rotherham, Sheffield. There's no order to this, is there? I don't know what they do. So I'm going to do it alphabetically for a change.
Okay.
Bolton versus Huddersfield. 13-10 Wanderers. The draw, 11-5. The Terriers are 11-5. In terms of the league positions, again, not an awful lot between these two clubs in terms of points, but plenty in terms of position. Huddersfield 14th with 21 points. Bolton are 21st with 18 points. Their goal difference is virtually the same. Huddersfield are one better off. It's only one defeat in the last five for Bolton, and they've been scoring some goals as well. Huddersfield, just the one win in the last six games now in the Championship. Is 13-10 tempting for Bolton?
Hugely. Bolton have improved massively, especially at home. Three back-to-back wins. They've scored three in each of those home games, and they've generally looked very, very good. I mean, three wins from five is decent home form right now, especially when they're the most recent three games as well. Huddersfield have done brilliantly, but away this season they've struggled. They've won just two games away from home all season. And in the last three, they've conceded eight. You know, they have strengthened. I like Poirier. I think Murphy's a good addition as well. Chris Powell's a great manager. I think this is a Championship now full to the brim of great managers, if I'm perfectly honest with you. And, you know, I wish him the very best as well. But I think for this, you have to look very strongly at Bolton. At home, they're improving. And Neil Lennon knows how to manage a side at home. I appreciate that in his time in Scotland, a lot of it was done nice and easy for him anyway. You know, because the fact is that going to Celtic is always going to be incredibly hard for his opponents, isn't it? But I really am a massive fan here of Bolton. Bolton in over 2.5 is 21-10. I love the price on that because I've played that rather than Bolton and both teams to score, which you can play if you want. It's 16-5. Fair play to you if you wish to do so. But 21-10 is good enough because, A, I think Bolton have got enough in their locker recently to score those goals themselves.
Mm-hmm.
As, of course, we've seen Huddersfield concede that themselves recently as well. B, I just can see... Yeah, I mean, that lands with both teams to score as well anyway. So you're getting both in a way, aren't you? I appreciate getting worse value. I'm not an idiot. But I still think it's a good way. I think it's an important bit of safety to get yourself. But also, love the price here on Chungyong Lee. 23-10 any time for Chungyong Lee. Penalty taker. He scored 3 in 4. He's been in good form away and at home in the last few games. He's reveling in the role that Neil Lennon's using him in. And I think 23-10 for 3 in 4, Chungyong Lee is a great goal scorer any time price.
Very nice. Let's go to Brighton next. They're playing Fulham at home. The prices, first of all, Brighton are 21-20. The draw is 23-10, and Fulham are priced up at 13-5. Let's have a look at the amount of games that Brighton draw. Plenty. Second highest in the division and second highest at home as well. 2 wins, 5 draws, and 2 defeats so far for Brighton. So not losing games. They also got a draw away at Norwich last time out, 3-3, of course. As for Fulham, who are 17th and a point better off than Brighton, lost at Brentford, won at home to Huddersfield, drew the previous two matches. Still not quite sure what we get with Fulham, other than both teams are scoring over 2.5.
Can I ask you something?
Yes, please do.
And this is a general...
Is it pertinent to the podcast?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Should this look like this? No.
No.
It is very pertinent to the podcast, because I was having to think, last night when I was stuck on a train at 3:30 a.m. I had nothing else to do. So I was sitting and I thought, hang on. I thought, the both teams to score market.
Yeah.
Right. Now, you get your both teams to score, say, games 8-30. Obviously, there's all kinds of prices for both teams to score, but, you know, in the Championship, you're hovering around the, 13-20, 4-6, that kind of mark, more often than not. Now, the both teams to score and team to come from behind and win or draw are obviously not the same thing. Yeah?
Yeah.
But if you're getting quite often 13-20 in a game you think is going to be chock full of goals...
Yeah.
And you do think both teams can score in...
Yes.
Is there arguably a good argument for playing both teams to come from behind and win or draw? So, for example, in the Derby game later,
I'm with you.
You've got 5-1 and 18-5. So the worst, as long as both teams score, you will get. Say you put a tenner on, you'll get at least £13 profit as long as someone does that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm
with you still.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Am I just talking nonsense here? Because if you fancy both teams to score, someone has to come from behind and win or draw.
Yes, that's true.
So if you play them both at what are often 4-1, 5-1 prices, then you will often make a better profit if your both teams to score lands than if you were to play the both teams to score.
Yeah, so if we use this game as an example, Brighton v Fulham, yes, both teams to score, 13-20. Let's say you have a 10 on it.
Yeah.
And you get back £16.50 if it lands.
Yeah.
Now, if you backed Brighton to come from behind and win or draw, 15-4, and Fulham to come from behind and win or draw, you're investing a fiver on each bet, so a tenner in total. The worst case scenario is that you get £23.75 back.
As long as both teams to score lands.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But then it has to land for you, both teams. We're comparing it winning, aren't we? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We're comparing. That has to... But the both teams to score has to land to get paid out on the 13-20. So what you're saying is, instead of backing both teams to score
actually,
at 13-20...
I've just realised another thing. What if a team goes 1-0 down, equalises, and then the other team win?
Yes.
Should we cut this entire section out?
No, it's funny. I mean, I might do, but it's funny because I've done this sort of thing before as well, and it's like in probably a similar situation where I'm quite tired and I like be thinking about them, and I just get me with betting and with odds, you get your head wrapped around something and you can't see any way, and until you actually sit down and do it, and you go, I see it. There's very few loopholes in betting, but when you find one, it's worth exploring.
Well, that's why I got all dead excited on the train. It was the only thing that kept me alive on the train last night, but. I've literally just realised the logic of my own plan.
So Brighton could score, Fulham could equalise, but Brighton could still score another one.
Yeah. But anyway, Alex Yarborough's goals in this.
Yeah.
And I think it's well worth playing the over 3.5 because you look at the games recently and it's just been very, 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 very goal-filled stuff, hasn't it? 22 in the last 5 Fulham matches, 16 in the last 5 for Brighton. And the over 3.5, Lee, is, I think, a very, very good way in on this one. I really do. The issue you've got with this is Fulham are still a team in transition, a team that are still changing. Brighton, obviously, have made a change up front. Craig McHale-Smith's gone on loan back to Peterborough. He's not just send him towards Peterborough and assume he's got there. Obviously, Darren Bent's gone into Brighton, hasn't he? And yeah. Amazing, apparently. I saw a poll that 70% of Villa fans thought that Darren Bent should be in their starting 11 at the moment.
Really? But,
off he's gone, yeah. Off he's
well, with Benteke missing because he's been banned, of course. And yeah. They do need a goal scorer.
He's been banned?
Benteke.
Has he?
He got sent off, yeah.
I thought he was injured.
No. Sent off. He got a red card, didn't he? Remember when someone pretended that he headbutted him.
Premier League.
Anyway. So over 3.5 we were talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, over 3.5 has to, in this game for me, has to land at 2-1. The over 2.5 at 8-11 is also firmly backable. I also do like, though, Hugo Rodallega anytime. He's scored in back-to-back games. He's 7-4 anytime. And he's a guy who likes these streaks, Hugo Rodallega, isn't he? He'll go on these little runs. He'll bag and then he'll disappear for 6 or 7 weeks. Then he'll bag and he'll disappear for a few weeks. So that 7-4 is a good bit of value as well.
Mm.
Being pushed, Lee.
Yes.
If you were to aggressively push me in this game, which arguably would be a pretty out of order thing for you to do, but
yes.
If you were to do it, yeah. This podcast would be a little bit odder than usual. 23-10.
Because we're together.
Yeah, and I'm tired. 23-10 is the draw price.
Very good.
Look at Brighton's form, it's just draws written all over.
Yeah, and just while we're talking about the both teams to score, 67% of Brighton's home games have featured both teams scoring, 72% of Fulham's away games have featured both teams scoring, so I know it's short, but it's short for a reason. Let's go and have a look at Leeds United's home game against Derby County. 3-1 Leeds, the draw 23-10, Derby 19-20. Leeds, again, you know, another team, both teams to score and overs landing week in, week out. In fact, the last 5 have landed with that bet. As for Derby, it's just motoring on. Now 3 points clear, the best goal difference in the division. They went to Watford and won 2-1 that Saturday lunchtime kickoff that Pete mentioned, 5-0. Didn't even need any of their Chris Martin's goals to win 5-0 in that game. Tough game for Leeds this, Pete. I mean, away from home, Derby just as good as they are at home. I mean, what do you do against Derby County at the minute if you're Leeds United?
The thing is with Leeds, they are improving under Neil Redfern. The scores aren't really suggesting that on the whole. I mean, I know they beat Blackpool, for example, but they are certainly improving. The mood around the club is certainly a lot different to what it was a couple of weeks ago. Neil Redfern was the right choice. He was the popular choice. He's looking towards the youth, you know, people like Mowat, and he really has certainly connected with the fans in a way that no manager at Leeds has connected with the fans in quite some time, I think. He was the right appointment, and they're doing very well. The problem they've got at the moment, though, is that they are blowing it second half. 6 of the last 7 second halves they've had, they've lost. So they've been losing second halves all over the place, Leeds United. Couldn't believe the price that I saw it on, actually. Derby to win the second half. Bear in mind that they're a great side anyway.
Yeah.
Bear in mind they score a lot of second half goals themselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got it in front of you there. You know, they won the second half against Reading. They won the second half against Blackpool. They won the second half against Fulham.
Yep.
Okay, they didn't do it against Brentford, but they've been scoring goals and winning second halves. 23-20 Derby to win that second half. With what Leeds are doing right now, with what Derby are doing right now, just in terms of second halves, and then you play on the fact that Derby are top of the league and a very good side generally, that 23-20 seems like exceptional value. It really does. Also, 3 of the last 5 opponents to have played Leeds have come from behind and won or drawn. 18-5, the price on that, but it's not the same, remember, as backing both teams to score. And they've now got to leave that recording in the podcast. Certainly, for me, yes, they've gone out this week, and it's been about trimming people down. So Wootton, for example, has gone out of Leeds. But, I mean, I know someone at Leeds, and the feeling there right now is incredible. It's so much better than it has been in a long, long time. I appreciate there's other problems coming in January from the sounds of things, but right now it's all going very well. Derby have a small keeper issue with Jack Butland and the fitness of Lee Grant, but Butland's had a really good time there. And look, I mean, they've shown they can come from behind in games. You know, the likes of Fulham 2-0 down and they smack them second half. They're a dangerous side. They're getting promoted. And to be honest, even just on the outright, Derby are well worth a look here for me. Leeds are good. I think they're going to improve and I think they're going to be fine, but there's good and there's beating Derby County.
Yeah, fair news. Penultimate game that we'll look at is Norwich at home to Reading. Norwich are 7-10. The draw is 12-5. Reading are priced up at 9-2. Both teams have got players banned here. Bradley Johnson and Alex Pearce both missing for the respective teams. Norwich are in 10th position with 27 points, a full 6 points ahead of Reading, who are now in 15th. Reading are struggling to draw matches of late. In fact, they're struggling to win them really as well. Had the home wins against Blackpool and Rotherham, but other than that, there have been a lot of losses on their record, going back to the 0-0 draw at Elland Road in the 1st of October. Norwich are struggling to put together a winner as well, Pete. You know, the game against Brighton, they had to come from behind and to get a 3-3 draw there. Tricky one to call this, but you imagine home advantage would be enough for Norwich, would you?
Look at their home goals recently. They scored 3 against Brighton, scored 2 against Bolton, but more importantly, look at Reading away. Conceded 3 at Brentford, 3 at Bournemouth, 3 at Blackburn, 2 at Cardiff. The problem that Reading have got at the moment is that Nigel Adkins is a manager who at the moment is changing his team to match the opposition. So the other day, for example, he left Cox out, he changed bits and pieces and it didn't work for them.
Never a good idea.
Don't do that.
You knew it.
I
had to snigger at least.
I appreciate our demographic is exclusively over 18, but come on.
I had to snigger at the very... Oh, I didn't snigger.
I almost said you're better than this, and then I realised what I was saying.
I'm not better than that at all.
That's my point.
I'm probably worse than that.
Yeah, I think so. But Norwich over 1.5 match goals is 4-6. So that's just for them to score twice in the game. Now, with the way they're scoring at the moment, but more importantly, the way Reading are conceding, it does. I like Nigel Adkins as a manager, and I just think that at the moment, though, it's coming to a bit of a conclusion, it seems, at Reading for him, because they can't get any kind of form going. Their away form is abominable, and they just really are not in the zone they need to be in to challenge for what Reading needed this season or next, really, which is promotion. So Norwich over 1.5 match goals is 4-6. That's fantastic. The other thing to throw into this, and it's not a direct link to a bet, but over the next few weeks, look at Norwich to improve rapidly.
Right, okay.
Mike Phelan, of course, former assistant manager to Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United, a man that Manchester United bought from Norwich at one point. He has gone in now as assistant manager, joint assistant manager, in fact, to Neil Adams. And that experience is going to tell.
Yeah.
The guy, all the coaching staff, everyone who's worked at Manchester United spoke about how good a coach and assistant this man is. They will, I think, Norwich improve massively. The thing is, it's not like buying an impact player and him coming on and changing you immediately, is it? The coaching, that takes a while to drip in. But I would certainly say, certainly over the December period, will they need his experience. And going into February onwards, really, I think. I appreciate I've missed January out, but that's part of it. I do think they're going to improve rapidly, and I would be looking on them to possibly be a playoff shout. But right now, the over 1.5 at 4-6 in the game is fantastic.
Very nice. Let's finish off before we get Pete's nap with Sheffield Wednesday versus Wigan. Sheffield Wednesday are 17-10. Wigan are the same price, and the draw is 21-10. Sheffield Wednesday, well, the form is just shocking, isn't it? No win since the 20th of September. We've been saying that for a while now. There are a few draws in there, of course, and have been drawing most of the games recently. Only one defeat in the last 6 matches, but I suppose you can use stats however you want to. They haven't scored a goal or conceded a goal in the last 2, and they didn't score against Bournemouth either. Wigan, no win since beating Derby in the 25th of October, randomly. They drew 3-3 with Fulham, lost to Brighton, lost at Bolton, and then drew with Middlesbrough. But Wigan are 23rd, and Sheffield Wednesday are 13th. Shows what that good start did for the Owls.
1-13-4 Wigan, and obviously the developments this week with the FA and
not good.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess. But for whatever else you think of Malky Mackay, his record as a manager is exceptional. That's kind of what it comes down to as a manager. If we're talking football, which is what we're here to do, and betting, his record as a manager is fantastic. He gets teams solid. He gets them ruthless. Now, he's had 2 weeks now to deal with them. In the first week, obviously, they played one of the best teams in the league, Middlesbrough. They were in the lead and almost won it, but Borough pegged them back and got a draw. And what's interesting to me, really, is that I think Wigan are going to improve markedly. Malky Mackay, I think when he initially went in, said he didn't quite know what kind of squad to expect, and he's been pleasantly surprised, were his words, by the squad. I know that we've had people come out this week, including the striker they brought over from France, and Delort, and said, it wasn't my first choice. don't be saying that, mate. That's not wise. But what I think is wise is backing Wigan to win this game at 17-10. I really like it. Sheffield Wednesday are struggling for goals. They're struggling for confidence. You see, I think Stevie May is actually a really good player. Works hard, can get on the end of chances, but has not really had the chance, I think, to really find his confidence in his eye. I think Semedo, of course, has come out and said, I think our strikers will come good. Keelan Lavery's actually been out for a long time. He's getting back to fitness now, so it could be that he's a surprise inclusion in, say, the next 5 or 6 weeks to bolster Sheffield Wednesday. But if you're asking me right now, do I want to back a Malky Mackay side, which is what you were doing now, a Malky Mackay side with some of the quality that they've got in that Wigan side against a Sheffield Wednesday side who are struggling?
Yeah.
17, and you give me the same price on the outright win, 17 to 10 for Wigan. Malky Mackay is a manager who gets his teams organised and ruthless. And I think that's exactly what's going to start happening over the next couple of weeks.
Fair dues. We'll get Pete's nap now. Make sure you have a listen to the League One, League Two version of the podcast to get Sam's nap, and I think mine will come in there as well. I just wanted to ask you a question about
lovely question session today.
In your role as a Chesterfield commentator, did you do the game at Crewe?
I did.
What do you think to Crewe's attack?
I think it's actually quite good, and they've strengthened it. Nicky Jose has come in, but I'll tell you who is good. If you've got the market in front of you right now, who's worth a bit of a look is Braddon Inman. I was incredibly impressed by Braddon Inman. Played on the left-hand side. George Cooper is also worth a look should he start. He came on from the bench and was dangerous. But yeah, Braddon Inman, 12-5 any time. Just see that in front of me now. Thought he was absolutely superb. Speedy, clever with the ball. His passing was good. He had three good chances that Tommy Lee did well to save. So yeah, no, Braddon Inman, if you're looking for a goal scorer.
Well, no, I was just looking at my nap. I was very tempted by the Bolton Huddersfield over 2.5. So we've included here. But the price is better. You know, Crewe Doncaster over 2.5 is 4-5. Crewe have hit a bit of a sticky patch in terms of scoring goals, including the game against Chesterfield. But you know, 67% of the home games have featured three or more goals. 88% of Donny's away games have featured over 2.5. So I just wanted that will be mine now. I'll do it on the league one and two podcast as well. But mine will be Crewe v Donny over 2.5 goals at 4-5. Where are you going, Pete?
Derby to win the second half, 23-20. You've first of all got the quality of Derby County as a team at the moment, top of the table and winning games and looking superb. You've also got Leeds blowing it second half of the second half at the moment, and they are blowing it second half of the second half. So you've got the stats on your side. You've actually got, you know, when you're looking at punter from a punter's angle and go, that team's better than that team, you've got that angle on your side as well, because I think Leeds will improve and they'll get better.
Yep.
But I think at the moment to get odds against for Derby to win the second half at 23-20 is exceptional value when you consider what Leeds are doing in second halves and the way generally that Derby are playing.
Yeah, very good. Pete, thanks for your time.
Cheers, Lee. Thank you, Bill.
Good to see you.
That was a very strange kind of... Why did you end that? Like, who's the guy who goes ding?
Because you've been on the phone recently.
Leslie Phillips, that was it. You did it like Leslie Phillips.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Are you free?
Well, that's Inman. Is it? When you said Inman, I was going to give it the old shut that door. Was it Are You Free? No, it's Larry Grayson I'm thinking of.
No. Are You Free was from... not upstairs, downstairs.
How You Being Served.
That was it.
Yeah.
My grandma used to watch Upstairs, Down... Not Upstairs. Used to watch How You Being Served over
upstairs.
And over again.
Did she watch Upstairs
and
Downstairs?
Upstairs and Downstairs.
She had the telly upstairs.
Yeah.
Jeez.
She was a fit. Wow. Up and down.
Thanks for listening. Even to that last bit there. If you haven't bet on any of the matches that we've discussed, then very best of luck.
Bye-bye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.